Are you guys ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
All right. Let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 1, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Let's read it together. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So Christ set you free for one purpose, and that's freedom. So what he has done is so you could be free. But this is what it says, stand firm, so stand your ground on your freedom then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Some of you are like, what is the yoke? Well, in those days, they had two oxen, two horses, and they would put these wooden yokes upon them so they would pull this burden, heavy burden. Christ sets you free from that heavy burden. And he says, don't get yourself under it again. Today, the topic of my message is called Prison of Escapism. I want to start by telling you a story. On our 10th wedding anniversary with my wife, Tanya, I took her to a place that we went to our honeymoon. That's Hawaii. A nice place. We had some minister friends from United States, and they had cheap hotel accommodation. So all we had to do really is pay for the airfare. So that was nice. And they wanted to hang out with us, you know, they're ministers, we're ministers, share our problems and things like that. And I got to tell you, at that time of my life, I was totally burned out. I was burned out on my marriage. I was burned out in my business. This was 2010. I was burned out in my business, and I was angry at God. Why do you ask me I was angry with God? Because although my business was doing good, God told me kind of to start this church. And this church wouldn't grow past 50 people. Usually it would stay around 30 people. And then God made me this promise before I even started the church. He said, start a church and it'll be big. Right? It's going to be lots of people blessed in this church. And here I am doing this pastorship for a long time now, and nothing is happening. No matter what I do, I did more then than I do now. And now we have more results than we had then. Okay? So I'm angry at God. Inside of my heart, I'm so bitter at God to where I want to cuss at him. Have you ever been angry at God? Maybe you were expecting something from God. Maybe you were asking something of God. Maybe God made a promise to you and then the promise doesn't come to pass. Maybe God said to you, ladies, you will have a good Christian husband and he's not coming. Maybe guys to you, maybe God said to you, you will have a beautiful young Christian woman and she's not coming, or she's running away from you. She's not coming, she's running. And so you feel abandoned by God, and you feel like God has left you. That's how I felt. Although everything else in my life is going good, this one area, and I get obsessed about this one area, and it ruins everything else, so I'm burned out. I actually ruined that vacation for all of us. Really. Like Hawaii, you would think, enjoy. But have you ever been depressed, and people say, snap out of it? And you can't. And you like angry at them, like that's what they kept saying. You snap out of it. You're in this, I'm serious, some kind of a rage. I wasn't angry, I get silent and I stonewall and I get passive aggressive. Not anymore. Well, still sometimes, but working on it. Amen. Have you ever been there where people say, hey, come on, snap out of it? I can't. I understand people like that. I understand people who's going through depression and people say, hey, come on, life is good. There's so much to do. Birds are singing. Jesus opened the cage, you know. Fly out. And you can't. You're mentally not strong enough to get out. Ever been there? I hope you never get there. But if you do, you'll know that you're not the only one. And if you've ever been there, you know you're not the only one. Your pastor experienced that too. I'm a human being, just like you guys. And so, we're all sinners, and sinners sin, and we get ourselves into these prisons. Okay? And so, vacation was ruined. One thing I did enjoy on this vacation was surfing. I'm not a good surfer, but I did rent a board for a whole week, and it was on top of my car, and I would go around the beach, around the island, because the islands are not big. You can drive around them in a couple of hours. And I would look for a great surfing spot. And at the last, maybe second to last day of our vacation, we were driving on the beach with Tanya. We kind of left our friends. I thought I lost that friend. Thank God, God had other plans. And so we're still friends. We're good friends. I did apologize to him like twice for ruining the vacation. It took a couple of years before I did that, though. And so I'm driving. We're looking for this spot. Tanya doesn't surf. She reads a book on the beach. So she brings her recliner thing. And so I'm driving, and I see on the west side of the beach these like five or six guys sitting in the water. I'm like, that's probably where the surfing spot is. So we get out of the car. I get my board. I go out into the ocean, sitting next to these guys. And all of them leave except one. They probably smelled that I was not a professional, going to ruin their experience. No, but they said the waves weren't good. And so they left, and it was just me. And this, he was about 45-year-old man. And I remember how he looked, because those experiences you can't forget. And so I'm sitting there, and there's no waves. Well, there's waves, but not enough to take him. So we're sitting there talking. I said, where are you from? What are you doing here? And he told me an interesting story. He told me that he used to be a successful executive on the West Coast somewhere, I think maybe in Washington. He had a family, he had a great job in corporate world, and he said one day he got tired of the corporate world, he got tired of his marriage and everything, and he just left, packed his bags and flew to Hawaii, and now he lives in his pickup, and he serves in the mornings. And he works at like a service business, like a restaurant business in Hawaii. And I was like, wow, interesting. And he points to me and says, you see those pickups on the beach? There's one there, one there, one there. And if you've ever been to Hawaii, you drive along the coast or along the beach, and there's people with pickups. They live there. They live there. And he said, those people, many of them left everything, and they just live like this. They escaped. And obviously not all of them, but, you know, that's what he told me. He was trying to escape from his life and his past. So a couple of weeks later, we get home, and I have an idea in my mind. I start dreaming of escaping. I start dreaming of escaping. Meaning, when life gets hard, I want to run. And first, it's just a thought, like a seed. And then it grows into a plant, and then it becomes a tree. And if you're not careful, it will begin to produce fruit in your life. I started dreaming of loading my Toyota Tundra at the time. I remember it, my red Toyota Tundra, and leaving everything behind. Leaving my beautiful wife, my amazing family, leaving my business, leaving the church, the ministry, leaving everything and running away. I started dreaming it, and it continues for years. And one day, finally got to my thick skull. He says, you got a problem. You're going to lose everything, and it's not my will. Thank God we have God in our life for crazy moments like that. He's like, you're going to lose everything. You think about it. The money will run out. I'm like, I got enough money. I got a couple of grand stashed. How long is that going to last you? How long is that going to last you? And so finally he knocked to me and he said, that's a bad idea. And today I'm going to tell you how I dealt with this escapism prison. And I'll tell you why it's a prison at the end of this service, of this message. But what I did was, I said, wow, God, it's getting really where I'm like planning already. On Friday, I'm going to leave. Ever been there? Thank you for your honesty. And then, you know what I did? I said, okay, I can't do this. I'm not going to leave. I'm making a decision, probably somewhere in a service or night prayer or worship night. You know, we make those decisions. That's it, God. You can take the wheel. You can take my truck. I'm not going. I'll deal with this. Fine. And then I ran from one thoughts of escapism into another. I ran into a little room, the smallest room in our house, in our big house. And I started escaping in a different way. When life would get hard, click, 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 click. Right? I started escaping into that. And so I would work hard in a day, and I would come home, and I would be like a zombie. Not even a zombie. I would be just like living dead. Like my wife calls it vegetating. Sitting there, clicking here or clicking here, and I could do three devices at a time. Can you do that? So this, and this, and watching three things to the point where your soul is frustrated. Where your soul is. And so I ran from one thought of escapism, thank God I didn't do it, to another. What is escapism? It's a tendency to seek distraction or relief from unpleasant realities. It's plain language to try to run away from your or mine problem. We all have problems. We live in a world that's not easy. If we look at the animal kingdom, we see constant struggle for survival. Same with human beings. Our life is never easy. There's always a new problem. And some of us, man, I wish God would tell me my problems. Then it would be easier. I would know what to expect. But sometimes the fear of unknown problems are even worse than the problems itself. Right? It's like you sit there and like, what's going to happen? I feel something bad is going to happen. Then anxiety comes. And I used to say, God, why can't you just show me all the problems you're gonna happen in my life? And he told me you couldn't handle it. Imagine knowing all that's going to happen to you. You couldn't handle it. God says, that's why I don't show you. I just let you live through it. Amen? And so escapism is a tendency to seek distraction and relief from unpleasant realities, especially by seeking entertainment or engaging in fantasy. Now, there are four stages that I would like to talk to you about escapism. There's some escapism that seems good and less destructive. Some are, it'll bring quick destruction. For example, why do people use drugs? It's not because they want to get addicted and ruin their life. Can I present to you that they want to escape from something? Escape from a problem. Why do people use alcohol? It's not because alcohol is a sin, because it's not. But they want to usually escape from something. And so there are some things that are destructive escapism, and there's other things like clicking on a TV. It's not right away will destroy your life, but it will. Where your wife comes to you and say, I don't know who you are. I don't know if we're going to work out. I don't know what's going to happen with us because I feel so distant from you. The kids don't know you. See, it takes longer. What are you escaping to in your life? Because everybody has escapism. See, the point number one, let me just go there. There's four stages of escapism. Number one is healthy enjoyment. Now, is it bad to try to escape from your daily problems? No. Even God, Bible says he worked 6 days and he rested on 7 days. That rest is to escape, you know, to even Jesus would take his disciples and he would escape to the mountain for a short period of time and relax. Clear his mind, have fun, forget about all the sick people and the problems and dying on the cross that he has to do. So it's okay to escape, like going to the movies. That's a good way to escape. But if you can't stop watching movies, you're just binging on everything to escape. You got to ask yourself, what are you trying to escape? What are you trying to escape? God wants you to escape on a vacation once in a while. But if that's all you're dreaming of, vacation, 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 you have a problem. It's called escapism. And if you're not careful, your escapism, like for me, can become a prison. So here it is. You're living in free country. You have a big house. You have a great job. But you hide in one small room in your house with a clicker. And you feel like you can't even get up because you don't have energy to get up. Now you're in prison, called escapism. And Jesus came so he could set the captives free. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So it doesn't matter that you live in a free country. You could still be bound by addiction. Sometimes it's not even bad addiction, but you could be bound and you could not experience the life that God has come to give us. That was me, guys. That was me. Life gets hard. And for pastors, I don't want you to feel pity for me, but I want you to understand, for pastors, life can get really hard. And sometimes you have to deal with difficult people. And the natural, I like people. And I want to be loved by people. So I don't want to deal with difficult people. And so what I do is I ignore difficult people. I want to escape the difficult people. But by escaping people, the problem does not get smaller. It usually gets bigger. It gets worse. Do you know that God wants you to escape sometimes? To have it's called a healthy enjoyment? Watch this. It's not going to be on a screen, so I want you to listen to me. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, it says this, "Oh, how sweet the light of day, and how wonderful to live in the sunshine." Gives you a better mood when it's sunshine, especially after a long winter. "Even if you live a long time, don't take a single day for granted. So enjoy life. Take delight in each light-filled hour, remembering that there will also be many dark days, and that most of what comes your way is smoke. Follow the impulses of your heart. If something looks good to you, pursue it. But know also that not just anything goes, you have to answer to God for every last bit of it." So God says, okay, there's great things, pursue them. Go after your desires of the heart. There are some destructive things, ignore them. Because at the end, you will have to give account to God for everything that you do. So God is not, see, some people are shocked to hear that God wants you to enjoy life. Even in the Bible, God says, enjoy the wife of your youth. And it gets a little R-rated after that. Enjoy her body part, body. Enjoy her body. Enjoy her love. Drink out of your own well. Blah blah blah. What is that? God wants you to enjoy life, but He doesn't want you to be stuck in a prison of escapism. And here's how this happens. Number two. The second step to escapism is avoidance. Avoidance is something you do in order to postpone dealing with a problem in your life. Maybe you're in step number two. You always avoid everything. I had a brother come to me after church, first service, and he said, "I avoid everything. I don't like conflict." And guess what? He's got to avoid a lot of people. He's stuck in his prison. He created a prison. He looks, who do I need to avoid today? I can't talk to him because I said I'd maybe do that. You create a prison for yourself. And so avoidance is something you do in order to postpone dealing with a problem in your life. Adam and Eve. God said, don't eat of the tree. They ate of the tree. And instead of standing in front of God and say, I'm sorry, God, we couldn't help it. It was so beautiful. I couldn't resist. Forgive us. What do? They avoid God. They hide in the bushes. God says, Adam, where are you? He said, I am under the bush. What are you doing there? I'm naked. Who told you you're naked? Did you eat? No, I didn't eat. Well, I did, but my wife made me. He says, wife, why'd you do that? Well, the devil made me. The serpent made me. And so we avoid things. We avoid the difficult conversation. We avoid the financial obligations. We avoid thinking, if I can avoid it, it'll go away. We avoid the talk we have to have with our spouse. Why? Because our marriage is deteriorating. So we avoid it thinking, if I can just ignore her, or if I can just ignore him, my marriage will work. We avoid talking with our boss. Hey, we avoid talking with that person in our workplace that are toxic, and maybe they're talking behind your back, and you need to sit down with them and say, hey, I don't appreciate you doing that. And actually, that could stop the problem, but you will let it go for 20 years. Some people will let it go for 20 years, harboring the anger and bitterness towards that person. We avoid talking to our kids. Disciplining our kids. Because while you're clicking, and this is especially for men, we like to go into our man cave. And it's the smallest room in our house with a TV and a plug. And that's it. And we live in a type of world where after work, guys, if we admit it, instead of leading our family, we hide in a room and click. There's a football game almost every day. There's a basketball or some kind of a golf. I mean, there's any sport to keep you clicking so you wouldn't lead. And now a lot more women are going to college these days. Statistically, men are kind of taking the back seat. And God, in his natural order, not to offend women, love you ladies, but he wants you to be a leader of your home, of this society. He wants you to lead. But the devil says, if I can limit him, if I could put him in a prison of escapism, if I can make him be afraid of his problems, or watch this, oh, this is good, or make him believe that there's future problems that he can't handle. Has the devil ever told you that, yes, you can deal with now, but what about tomorrow? Tomorrow you can't deal with them anymore. And you start fearing tomorrow. And that's called worry. Bible says, do not worry about tomorrow. Deal with today's worries, and tomorrow will deal with tomorrow's. One day at a time. And so what we do is we forget that we can do all things. We forget that God is for us, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so we hide and we try to, out of sight, out of mind. Maybe it's a drug for you. Maybe it's a television for you. Maybe it's a good thing like fishing. You just can continue to fish so you can escape. Now, I love fishing. Nothing wrong with fishing. Nothing wrong with watching movies. Nothing wrong with watching TV. Nothing wrong with spending time in a shop fixing. Nothing wrong with working. But when it becomes hyper escapism. Escape is good, but hyper escape will become a prison. In my big house, in my small room, that's prison. And now kids are like, Dad, can we play a game? Get out of my room. I'm tired. And seriously, your battery stays at 10%. Your spiritual life battery stays at 10%, and you have no energy. People call you, hey, you want to hang out? I'm busy. I have another appointment, another event. No, you're not. The devil is isolating you, brother. The devil is isolating you, sister. Because if he can isolate you from other believers, from other people, from other relationships, he can take you out. He's like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. Look at the nature. The wolves, they separate and then they attack. One wolf cannot get you. So the goal is to separate you from the herd, and then he can take you out. That's what the devil does. That's why Jesus will go look for that one sheep, because you don't have to protect the 99 so much. You don't have to protect the 99. You have to go up to that one, because that's the dangerous point for that sheep. Are you getting what I'm saying? Escapism. And so we try to escape, and by escaping, that hyper-escapism becomes a prison. You can't stop watching porn. You watch it for 15 hours straight. You can't stop playing video games. Hitting close to home, quiet. You can't stop playing video games. Now, is it bad to play video games? No. But when you can't stop, and that's all you go to escape, or there's like virtual games where you could like build your own life online. Like they say, that's the thing of a future. You build a life, fantasy life. And that's what the devil wants. He wants to isolate you, because then God cannot use you. If devil can isolate you, God cannot use you. Hallelujah. Thank you. I will. Avoidance. Avoidance. What are you avoiding that you have to deal with? God says to Jonah, I have 200,000 people in Nineveh. I want to save them. See, Jonah knew that God would save Nineveh if he would go and preach. But he hated those people. And so instead of going to Nineveh, he goes on a cruise ship and goes the opposite way. And he gets comfortable at one of his rooms. They give him a room on a cruise ship. And notice, there's big waves and he's sleeping, enjoying the ride. He's fed. And God has to go and find, that's escapism. And God has to deal. And I'm glad he dealt with my escapism. I'm glad, because there's so much life to live out there. There's so many relationships. There's people waiting for me. There's people waiting for you to connect with. So you can exchange life and build each other up and encourage one another. But the devil knows if I can separate him, he's worthless to God. And God says, I disable. It's like a ship. Take the ship's wheel, rudder, right? Doesn't matter how big the engine is. Doesn't matter how big your calling is. If he could take your rudder out, if he could put you in that prison of escapism, you're wasting life. And you know what? People could live in that situation for decades. And then life goes by. Let it not be this church. Let it not be your ears. Let it not be you who hear this message. I believe God has sent me and given me this series so you can be free. You live in a free country. Christ also has set you free. Why are you still in bondage? Why don't you enjoy life more? Avoidance. Avoidance is this. There was a moment in my life I realized I can't control. So avoidance is when we realize that we don't control the world. We're not in control of the world. And you know what we start controlling? We start making a space and living in a space that we can't control. That's why my room had to be the smallest. I didn't do it consciously. That happened subconsciously. But then I realized, why am I in the smallest room? In the big house, we have more rooms. Why am I hiding? Because I can control that room. You see? Man, we're complicated beings. We do things before we understand them. There's no shortage of things we would rather avoid. Our financial situation. I've seen people avoid their bills for as long as possible. I've seen people with opportunities do minimum. And I look at them and I'm like, you have such an opportunity. Why do you do minimum? That's an opportunity. If you do minimum, you're not going to take advantage of that opportunity. I have seen people given a business and they run it to the ground because they do minimum. I've seen it. Eli, I've seen it. You've seen it. I've seen people, see, but the mindset has to change. I was put on this earth to live. God said, speak to the dead bones. And I don't know who are the dead bones. Remember in Ezekiel, there was a valley of dead bones. And say, dead bones, God wants you to live. I'm speaking to dead lives. And I want to declare the word of the Lord for you this morning. That God is saying, live. That's prophetic. Live. That's the truth. God wants you to live. And not die. And God wants you to declare the goodness of God. That's what God wants. So I feel like when I'm miserable, I'm more spiritual. No! You're not more spiritual when you're miserable. Who told you that? I have come to give you life to the fullest. Don't kid yourself. That's false religiosity. Shoot it down, that thought. Cast down that imagination in biblical language. I like to shoot it down. Idea. Amen. God wants us to live. What are you avoiding? Maybe that mindless job. Maybe you've been stuck there for way too long. Now, don't quit it today. Find a better one. I always say, find a better one and then give that one notice and tell the next one, can you wait 2 weeks so I can, they'll respect you more. Okay? Maybe you're avoiding that life hasn't turned out the way you thought it would. And so you're hiding till it gets fixed. Apostle Paul had a thorn in his flesh. That's what the Bible says. Now, we don't know what that thorn is, but something in his side, something in his flesh, some kind of a physical sickness or disease or mental, or I don't know what it was. Bible doesn't say. And he says, I prayed to the Lord 3 times. So what does he do? He doesn't wait to live his life, right, till after the thorn is taken out. Because he prayed to the Lord 3 times. He says, Jesus, can you remove this thorn? We're close, right? We're buddies. We're friends. You give me such huge revelations. You must be pleased with me. Remove this thorn. Jesus says, no, Paul. Actually, more like, no, Paul. See, Paul's like, what? I don't receive that. Let's go again. Paul goes, fasting, praise. Says, Jesus, remove this thorn. Nope. Paul says, I can't take that no for an answer. So I'm going again. He goes again, says, Jesus, remove this thorn. And Jesus says, no, Paul, because my grace is sufficient for you. I can do things through you even when you are with a crutch. I can do things in your life even with disability. So God takes Paul's disability and allows him to live life to the fullest. That's why Paul says, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. Be joyful. Always, right? Why? Because Paul was experiencing joy with a disability. What if God never removes that problem? Are you going to waste your life? What if God never removes that problem? Will you then sit in your room and make it a prison and waste your life? Or you can say this, like Paul says, God's grace is enough to work with my disability. And look what he's done. 2/3 of the New Testament he pens. And today we study Paul's life. We study his teachings. His life mattered. His life made an impact. Your life matters. And God wants your life to make an impact. But you have to get out of that prison. Christ has set you free already. The prison is open. And imagine this little birdie sitting in this. I can't make a birdie. But imagine a little birdie sitting there while the prison, the cage is open. Are you getting this? What are you avoiding? Conflict, disciplining your children, marriage that's deteriorating, maybe emails, phone calls, maybe the shame you feel for something that you did in the past or something that was done to you. You're avoiding dealing with life. You're avoiding living life because something you did or something that was done to you. What is it right now that you would just rather avoid and not think about and not deal with? Because that's what stops you in life. That's what creates a prison. Listen to me. I said it in the first service. The best way to escape the problem is to deal with the problem. Write this down. Put it on Facebook again. The best way to escape the problem is not to run away from the problem, but to deal with the problem. Not medicate it, not postpone it, not search for something to distract you from it, not look for an emotional high somewhere else. Deal with the problem. But Pastor, I can't. I don't have the energy. I am at 10% of life. Have you ever felt like you have 10% of battery left? It's like you're slow. There is a scripture that Jesus spoke, and I'm going to simplify it. He said this. He said, the kingdom of God is taken by force. Kingdom of God is big. Your energy level is small. How do you take it? By force. Do you know that it takes energy to get more energy? Let's change that word force. Kingdom of God is taken by force. Let's use energy or strength. The kingdom of God is taken by effort. Okay? So you're sitting on a couch. You have no energy, ladies. But then you see a commercial on TV of that beautiful dress on sale that you've been walking by in the mall. When you get up and go to the mall and look at that dress, you get what? More energy. Where's the energy comes from? See, you have to use energy to create energy in your life. So you're sitting a couch potato on a couch in your home eating chips, recording yourself on video. Right? You're sitting there, you're eating it, and then you're like, man, what if I just get up and go to the park? But you're like, I have 10% of energy. Is that enough? You go to the park, you start walking around, you start praising God for the beautiful weather. What happens? 30%, 40%, 50, 60, 70. You met somebody in the park. 80. You come home. Man, I am full of energy. How did that happen? You had to use some energy. That's how tithing works, people. That's a principle of tithing. You use the 10% to get the 90, to the blessing of God. That's how you use 10% of energy that you have. Get up out of your couch. Get out of that lazy boy chair. Get off of that computer, your social media, scrolling. Your fingers are like getting a carpal tunnel, you know, can't move your thumb, go like, ever been there? You're laughing because you have, right? And go do something. That's why we have life groups, so you can get together with other people. But I don't have any energy. Get up and you'll get energy. You'll get energy. What are you avoiding? The best way to escape a problem is to deal with a problem, not medicate it. I want to read to you, and I'm almost finished here. Isaiah 43, not going to be on a screen. This is what God said to you today. Fear not. What is that problem you're fearing? God is saying, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have summoned or called you by name. You are mine. How do you know you can do this? How do you know you can live a life to the fullest? Because you're God's. You're built for living to the fullest. And then watch this. This is beautiful. My favorite. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, you will not, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord, your God. Here is a promise that no matter what the problem is, no matter what the valley of shadow of death is, He is with us. That's the benefit. That's what it means to be a Christian, that God is with us. Emmanuel. Have you forgotten that there is a privilege that comes of believing in Jesus? That Jesus is always with you. And so when the devil says, tomorrow some bad will happen, says, shut up, devil. Some bad is going to happen to you tomorrow. You might get locked up for eternity, remember? Remind him of his future. If he reminds you of your future, remind him of his future. And then say, hey, I know my future. I know the promises of God in my life, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No problem will ever overtake me. I'm a more than conqueror in Christ. Some of you are like, I'm afraid to talk to the devil. Why? Jesus wasn't. The best thing you can say to the devil is no. If you don't want to talk to him, just say no. He says, God doesn't love you. Nope, you're a liar. I'm not going to listen to you. Whatever he says, whatever the fear that he brings to your life, to say, no, that's not going to happen. Jesus talked to the devil. And he answered with scripture, but maybe you don't know the scripture today. So you just can say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to confess that. I'm not going to let it play in my mind. I'm not. No. I'm going to live. I'm tired of being dead bones. Dry bones in Ezekiel. Some of you are like, what is he talking about? I know you're new, so maybe go to the Bible and find the story of dead bones. Read it again. It's an amazing story, but it's a symbol of the nation of Israel being dead. And God, although they're alive, but they're dead. Spiritually, God says, speak to them and they will live. And as he spoke, life came to them. And I would like to believe that today as I'm speaking, life is coming into you. Your faith is growing. You're going to be more energized today when you leave. Maybe you came on 10% energy. You said, God, this is all I have. I'm barely made it to the church. Kids were crazy. Everybody's crazy. People on the road are crazy. But I made it somehow. Please, I can't go empty. Say that to him. Say it in your mind. God, I can't go empty. Fill me. I need this life. I need your kingdom to be inside of me, your power to be inside of me today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah means thank you. Number three. I got 1 minute and four. Number three is neglect. The first step is avoidance. The second is neglect. You start neglecting your family, your church, your children, your work responsibility, bills, phone calls, hard conversation. It starts becoming negligent. And you stop coming to work on time. You call in a lot. You start making a lot of lies. And you ask other people to lie for you. Okay, you start being neglectful. And I don't have much time to spend on this, but it's a cycle. You say to yourself, I'm going to do better tomorrow. I'm going to try harder. And then you fail. And then you feel guilty. And then you feel ashamed. And then you make more promises. And then you rinse and repeat. You rinse and repeat. And it just keeps going. And it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. And then number four, it's obsession. Or compulsion. At this stage, you no longer have control of your life. It's that stage where drug addiction took over your life. It's that stage where you can't get up out of your bed. It's that stage where you start losing. You start having boss call you in the office and say, hey, this is fourth time and we're going to have to let you go. It's the time when your family guy says, listen, it's either, well, they already told you by this stage that it's either your football, sport, or the family. And they're saying, we're done. We're coming out. It's that stage where you lose your business, you lose your clientele because you've been neglecting. Avoiding, you've been neglecting. It's that stage where you can't function normally anymore. It's that stage where you lose and lose and lose things. You can no longer function, and the consequences of your escapist behavior compiling down like a snowball effect just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's where you lose your house because you haven't been paying bills. That's where your electricity is shut off. That's where, you know, the IRS come knocking down on your door and start remove everything out of your paycheck. You know they can do that. They can remove all of that. And so that's what happens. And just you're out of control. You lose everything. What stage are you in? First, second, or third? Now, usually people who are in this escapism prison neglect one important step. They neglect step number one, healthy enjoyment. It starts by being workaholic. Goes into avoidance, goes into neglect, and goes into obsession. It's the last stage where you lose everything. You know what? Some of you are like, well, this does not apply to me. Maybe it doesn't. But maybe you know people. I know you know people who are struggling. And in the life group on February 15th, maybe you can help somebody else. Instead of saying, just snap out of it, you know, that doesn't help anybody. You can understand. See, a lot of times we deal with people's addictions, and we don't understand that addiction was because they're trying to escape something. But now we know. Amen? Amen? So, how did you escape from this prison, Pastor? How? How do I get out of this? You just pointed out my problems. You just told me what my fault is. How do I get out of this? And here it is. It's a simple thing. Number one, you have to admit that you have a problem. I had to admit, I had to see it and admit it. When you go to AA program, the first step is you got to admit. If I tell you you have a problem, you will be mad at me. You'll come out angry. Hey, don't tell me my pornography is a problem. It's not. But if you, biblical word for that is confession. Where you come and says, God, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. What do you expect? You know I'm a sinner and sinners sin. So you admit it. You don't hide it. You don't have to go and publicize it to everybody, but you go in and just say, God, I'm a sinner. I messed up. I got this problem. I've locked myself with this addiction to escape life, and I'm not truly living. And Bible says if we confess our sins, then He is being faithful and just, will forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah, that's how cool it is. God is not going to say, I don't think I can forgive this one. No, you said it before. No, God says, this is my word, and my word is truth. If you confess your sins, He's being faithful and just, will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. First step, don't, whatever your problem is, whatever you're dealing with today, say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm a coward, actually. I try to escape from problems. And you promise to give me strength to overcome anything I face. I can do all things. I can face any problem through Christ who gives me strength. I'm here to remind you that you can do anything because you have Christ. Hallelujah. Can you feel the Spirit in this place? I can do it. Whatever it is, I can overcome it. And if Satan says something comes tomorrow, I'll overcome that too. I'll overcome this. I'm not going to lose my family and then regret it. I'm not going to lose my business and then regret it. I'm not going to lose my job and then regret it. And then live in guilt. I'm built for this. I am built for this life. And if I got Christ, I can overcome. You can overcome. Move, Holy Spirit. Move, Holy Spirit. Go beyond my words this morning. I can overcome. Number two, get in the cage with 800-pound gorilla. That's number two. This problem is scary. It's like that big gorilla. And instead of avoiding this big gorilla, get in the cage with a big gorilla. And confront that person you need to confront. Speak to that boss or employee that you need to speak. Don't avoid it anymore. Talk to your wife about your marriage. Maybe you need counseling. Maybe you need help. Schedule an appointment with your pastors. Move. It takes energy to get more energy. And God says, I can take the little you have of your energy and I could pour till your cup overflows. Like David said, my cup overflows. And then he declares, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. As a Christian, you have that promise. Why aren't you getting a hold of that? Goodness and mercy will follow me if you let it. I want you to say something right now. Goodness, mercy, follow me. Say it again. Goodness, mercy, follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And number three, run from your addiction, from your prison of escapism, whatever that is, to God. If you don't run to God, you'll run into another prison. Notice, I ran from the thoughts of escaping to the room where the TV was to escape. I can't run to another escape point. I can't go from one God small g to another God small g to another God small g and keep creating them, because that's what will happen. I gotta run to God. He's the source of my strength. He's the source of your strength. The light is going down, so that means my time is up. Hallelujah. Were you blessed by this message?